Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
That's precisely what we do. Each episode, we invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
That's right, dear.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. You were pretty cute running around naked this morning in the apartment.
Oh, man, it was cold, and I felt good about it.
Like those hard nips.
Hard nips. Sweet tips.
You know who else has hard nips?
Oh, they're beaming from across the table.
The co-creator of Adult Swim program, Fat Guy Stuck in the Internet.
Also, he's a big swinging dick on the legendary New York City improv team, Death by Ruru.
And he's currently moving and shaking alongside Rebel Wilson in the ABC sitcom, Super Fun Night.
We're sniffing the musk of Mr. John Gemberling.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I do have hard nips.
Now? Or always?
Not now.
No.
But I like to play with my nipples.
Yeah, it's an erogenous zone like no other, I feel. Well, not even the genitals, Taylor Moore.
You're breaking ground here.
I know.
Nips are erogenous.
It's a good feeling. I wake up sometimes caressing my nipples.
Like you just waking from a
it's
minor
something something right about now. Like I don't know, something about waking up, I find myself on my back with my legs sort of frogged to either side, and I'm just caressing my nipples. You know, sometimes you need to rub yourself in the morning.
Yeah, it's a jump start.
It's a good way to wake up, I say.
Yeah. Do you ever go with heat or cold on the nips? Have you ever played with that a little bit?
Oh, like sexually?
Like ice cubes, or just, spiritually, I don't know, in any facet.
Not really.
Cold? Ice is,
I feel like it's, I don't know.
It numbs a little
Maybe
bit
it's too much.
After a while.
I've had ice on my crotch before.
Crotch ice.
Ice down that crotch path.
You had it there for fun?
For fun, yeah. Well, somebody else introduced it. And I was like, cold.
And you enjoyed it?
It was good. It was okay. Yeah. I mean, it was fun to try like once, but I don't think I would like it all the time.
Yeah. Anything if you introduce into the regular rotation just becomes... boring and routine.
Totes. There's also some stuff that's just too complicated to like do every time. It's like you can't.
Yeah.
When you're in a relationship, you can't do it every time. Like I've tried like, you know, a little like butt pluggy type stuff.
Oh, yes.
But it's like, and it feels good, but it's not like you got to boil it. You got to like sterilize it if you're doing it right. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah, you can't just grab something from lying around the apartment and plug it in there. You'll end up with a. Some sort of infection. Yeah, that's... I'd like to fiddle around with. I've only ever done just a finger or two. I've never really had any devices in there.
I've used the little... Yeah, I've tried two of them. My wife and now my wife and I went to Toys and Babe Land one day and bought like a
great
couple
spot.
Stuff. Basically tried it that day and then it was sort of like too complicated after that. Hmm. I tried the anus. Is this off topic? Are we supposed to be talking about
this?
No,
this anus is on topic.
I tried the anus... which didn't do anything for me. It's supposed to be, like, it goes up. It's like a weird looking, like, looks like sort of like a treble clef a little bit.
Sort is it like, supposed to tickle your prostate?
It goes up your butt a little bit, and then it's supposed to put pressure on your perineum.
Oh, got it.
But I didn't, it just sort of sat there. It didn't, you know, it just. It
didn't dance at all.
It didn't
Hello?
Do much.
Yeah.
And then I tried one of those little, like, you know, like those little butt pluggy things with like the little like, you know, getting concentrically smaller little beady.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like
the
tower. Like
yeah. And that was good.
I was once watching a guy jerk off across the way, like through a window in the New York City apartment in the East Village. And he jerked off and then he got up and left. And beneath him was a vibrating cone that he'd been sitting on.
Oh.
And that was a very fun little reveal at the end.
See, I feel a little magic trick
up,
at the end.
He just stood up off of the. Was it up his butt or was it like
he'd been just like sitting on it? But he came into a towel, like spiked the towel on the ground, and like ran out of the room.
I like that
it
you
out,
stuck with him too. You didn't just see someone masturbating and walk away. I mean, you got to see how that.
Oh no!
Ends.
The surprise ending was exciting.
Yeah, that's well. See, that's the thing. Same thing. I think even more so with masturbation than with a partner is once you start upping the ante. I think you're, because then just regular mass, once you've had a vibrating cone up your ass, it feels great. I think it'd be hard to then, like when you decide to, is it like, oh, once a week I'll treat myself and go with the cone.
But do you have to boil it? If you have to
you
boil it, you can't do it every time.
I don't know. I like that. I like the element of it's just sort of like when he's done, it's sort of hands off, just stand up, walk away, don't even look back.
It's always vibrating. He just sits on it when he wants to.
His electricity bill is through the roof.
Yeah. Well, so
we've already loosened him up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we like to wine and dine, and we try to fancy ourselves a classy podcast, and we're like, let's definitely just wining, no dining whatsoever. But
never dining.
You asked for some Dr. Brown's Black Cherry, which is I have had once. And
once?
It's great. Just one time. I remember once I had it. And we looked for it. We couldn't find it.
We went to 5 stores this morning.
We were just...
You shouldn't have.
We were just scooting around town.
I didn't care that much.
We had to...
We'd really try to please our guests.
We found some Black Cherry eventually.
You asked for my favorite beverage, and I gave an answer without even thinking about whether or not it was my favorite.
It was meaningful. It was what was on your
mind. Yeah, it was what was on your mind at the time.
So we got some Boylan's Black Cherry. And
which
then
is
what...
very good.
Yeah.
And I don't know what this is.
What is
this is Johnny Ryan. This is a Johnny Ryan Cerise Noir. just said some words. So then there's that.
How do you think being a comedian has affected your sex life? Now that we're all hopped up on sugar, I'm just going to get right into it.
Sweet cane sugar.
How has it affected my sex life?
Like, how is your profession, like, do you think it's, like, helped or hurt you?
I mean, now you're in a relationship.
In the ways of romance.
You mean, like, did it give me more opportunities to get laid?
To bang, yeah.
Or did it free me up somehow in the bedroom?
Sure.
Well, I never had that much sex. I haven't had that many partners. So I lost my virginity, like, just before I graduated high school. And I started UCB just before I graduated high school. So pretty much everybody I met after that, after losing my virginity, was somehow through the UCB community. So I guess maybe if I hadn't been in comedy, I would never have had sex again.
Just a one and done in high school.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I started, you know, so young, and I didn't have a lot of sex as a teenager. So, yeah, it's
me neither. I was 18 when I first had sex.
Yeah.
But I didn't start UCB until I was like, I had no idea what 26. Was going
on. Yeah.
Well, you're also a musician. So, do you think there's any like comedy?
Musicians are sexy.
I mean,
musicians
are just always considered sexier than comedians, I feel.
I was in a ska band in the late 90s.
That's what I'm referring to.
That did not translate into anything for me. I was in like a Hawaiian shirt dancing around with like trombones and fucking.
What's that band
so
called?
So sexy.
It was called The Loose Nuts.
Ooh.
So yeah, that didn't, that got me nothing. Yeah, most of my relationships have been with people who were in comedy. And I think it's good. I mean, people say don't date comedians, but I don't know why. I mean, I think it's nice to be in a relationship with somebody who understands what you do and your schedule and stuff. And
well, when I first started at UCB, Death by Ruru was on one of their great cage match tears. And I remember thinking you guys were all real sexy. Because you were so funny, you know? It was like rock stars. Like, I would come and I was like, these guys are amazing. So, for what it's worth.
Thank you.
A lot of moist panties in the audience at those cage match shows.
You just don't get to see the panties, but they were moist.
Yeah, there were. I never got. I don't know. I guess there were a couple people who were like hot young girls who would like message me or like hang out with me a little bit through, you know, from me doing comedy. But I know I don't. It was always just like sort of teasy. Like, I think a different person would maybe have like pressed the issue and closed the deal, but it somehow never worked for me. I wasn't aggressive enough to do that. Because they were these like, there's this like pixie-ish type that is like, oh, I'm hanging out with you, but I'm not really overtly expressing a sexual.
Is that the manic pixie dream girl?
That's the archetype. Yeah.
I think it's that archetype. That like I'm here and I'm engaged and but I'm not.
I'm quirky. And sexy.
Look, but don't touch. But maybe touch.
But not even that. Not even like. There's sort of like an asexuality.
Right.
Also, like, is this even part of the equation? Maybe there's like a boyfriend who lives in another state or something.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's too confusing. Taylor knows.
Taylor's got a boyfriend in another state.
Preach it. Amen.
Well, let's chat a little bit about sexy science. Word her up.
I'm the lyrical gangster. Mm.
So, well, we love science and we love sex. So
I love science.
We want to, well, then this is perfect. We try to rip articles from the headlines.
Ripped from the headlines.
They combine our loves of everything lustful and everything scientific. So we have an article here. We found this from Live Science. This is a brain chip to stimulate orgasms.
Basically, it's for people who like don't have fun while they're having sex, and they have this chip now that they can put somewhere in your brain, and it makes you simulate an orgasm.
Yeah, some researchers at Oxford have been developing this, and the idea,
this is not on the market,
not yet.
Orbital frontal cortex.
So people, you would have to get brain surgery.
Essentially, they'd have to open you up
your skull,
mm-hmm.
and put. A chip in.
Yeah. And then it's
also
this is for people
device.
Who don't have fun. This is for women.
This is for women and, I guess, men.
They just say
who
people.
Who are the people that aren't having fun during sex?
That's a good question.
Call in if you're listening.
Yeah. if you're listening live somehow. just call us later. This is just for people either.
Not to say that all women don't have fun during sex, but.
Yeah, well, but I mean, I think...
I would think that it would be more of a female need.
I think so, too. I don't think that that's like a very
wide
group of men.
And they've also tried the idea of this walk-in, like that kind of hits certain brain functions. But this one is an actual implant, so which they say works better because the other one they've had mixed results with people in the sex tube.
What's the sex tube?
Just like a cylinder that you go in, and it's just like supposed to fire up different brain, just trigger different reactions in your brain just through waves and
people get
radiation,
in a tube. Is this a thing?
People
go stand in a tube and it hums at them, and they just
thing.
Dump cum in their pants.
This is
dump.
This is sleepers, I think. So that's the idea, but I think
what I think is weird about this is I want to be like, everyone should have a fun time having sex, but it makes me just feel like the Matrix or like a cog or like if we can just implant chips, like we should all just be like floating in a pool, like with, you know what I mean?
Well, it's sort of shit stuffed in our brain. Isn't the whole thing behind good sex that you're trying to find a way to please your lover when it's to the point where you're like, honey, you're a big drag in bed, so I need you to go to the fucking hospital.
Get your head sawed open.
Saw your head open and put a computer in there.
That's a hard sell.
You're bumming me out in bed with your bored looks.
Stop crying.
Yeah, this will make you enjoy it more. Well, I mean, it's the natural or the artificial flavoring, rather. I mean, I guess it's an extreme of artificial flavors, but I guess it's trying to simulate something that you just couldn't get.
It doesn't really go into detail. Obviously, it's not out yet, but we just put in like, say I had one in my brain right now. Could I just like flip a switch and like orgasm?
Well, this
simulate an orgasm.
Yeah. This also says that when they were working on chronic pain, they stuck an electrode into a woman's spine and to try to help her with her back pain.
She dumped cum into her pants.
She just went into full on cum dumper mode and her back pain was gone.
It's the same part of the brain though.
Yeah.
Like
so
what else?
I'm always wary of like, you know, you can control somebody's brain with a remote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's troubling.
Next thing you know, Obama will be flipping all our switches and we'll
I
be
know.
Coming in our pants.
Jeez. Yeah, next election cycle, everybody's just going to be coming all over the place. I wonder if you actually, if you're fine with your orgasm and you get this, do you double down or is this just, like, would you have the most intense orgasm ever, I wonder?
Or would you die?
Or would your genitals just explode? I don't know.
Maybe there's an intensity dial.
That's true. Dial it back a little.
You just put it to
dial
one.
It down.
Just have like this seeping, pathetic orgasm.
Just the
worst orgasm.
Have you ever jerked off and come before you even had a full hard on?
Yep.
It's just this pathetic.
It's sad.
Like,
it's really
semi-limp.
Yep, just flopping
I've
around.
I've witnessed this phenomenon.
It just like takes a breath and like this cum comes out. It's just
it's like
just this sad little twitch.
Yeah, and then you look at it angrily as if it's like not a part of your body, and like you stink. Yeah, that's a sad thing. So yeah, get a chip in your brain. Get really take it up a notch. I also just thought of like hitting it up to. Is that like the torture device in The Princess Bride?
Turning
where it's
it
like
up
not
to
50. Yeah, you like hit, someone comes in when you're not ready and you're just jerking off and they just crank it up. That would be
They think it's the heat.
Yeah,
and
there's
like,
you put your
up,
dial
like,
right on the wall.
It's on the wall.
It's a wall mount.
It's
yeah.
right next to the
I'm
light
imagining
switch.
It. Yeah, exactly.
You're giving that big presentation at the office.
Someone comes in and says, it was a little chilly in here. Ah.
It writes itself.
I mean, I am excited about The Matrix. I hope that comes out before I die.
Before our time, yeah.
Because then we can live forever, essentially, right? Just be like brains in formaldehyde and just live in a.
Would you want to live forever? We were talking about this the other night. I say no. Murph says yes.
I say yes. Maybe not forever. If I could, if I had the opportunity to kill myself at some point, like if it were a curse where I couldn't die no matter what I did, I wouldn't think I'd want that. But I would want maybe 500 years and then just on my own terms if I didn't.
500 like... years here or 500 years in a fantasy data bank of your own creation?
The latter.
Yeah. Give me that fantasy data bank, I guess. Yeah. That sounds like a... Yeah. I'm sure Neo's orgasms were incredible.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of left that
no,
one out.
No, they but... like made him fly across the room.
Yeah. He was...
That's what happened in that movie, right?
Yeah. No, I'd go fantasy data bank for 500 years. That's
I just feel like life would be totally meaningless if you weren't going to die ever. Like,
well,
good wouldn't be good.
Well, I subscribe to the 2001, Arthur C. Clarke sort of progression of intelligence where, you know, we get to a certain technological point and then we leave our bodies for machines and then leave the machines to just become pure consciousness moving through the universe.
Hmm. Do you think you could get there in 500?
No.
All right.
No chance. Well, let's people come up to us on the street. They accost us
all the time.
Yeah. They're just on that G train just fiddling around and asking us what do we do about this? What do we do about that? So, you know, we try to help them as best as we can.
Asbestos?
Asbestos. We try to remove their walls of the asbestos that was planted there in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, and then so, you know, we try to help them as best we can in listener love.
Listener mailbag.
There we go.
All right, our first question comes to us from Lily in San Francisco via Facebook. Lily says, I love dogs so much. There is a minor surgery that can make people look more like pups. How can I convince my boyfriend to get the surgery? I'll pay for it.
Well, you convinced us. I'll pay for it was the selling point. I don't think convincing anyone to get a surgery. I guess we were just talking about brain. Yeah, I guess it's a similar but much weirder thing. I think it's a harder sell.
It makes people look like
dogs.
Yeah, I guess it's the jaw. I remember seeing a photo. I didn't know if it was real or not, but I remember seeing a photo circulating on the.
Did they get
the
like
nets.
A snout?
Yeah.
Put on?
Yeah, it was like an extension weird. Of the. So you like just break the nose down, so it's like that flat kind of snout nose, and then you get some. So it's
but
more
this guy's
just like
gotta, he's got to live, right? Outside of this relationship.
Yeah, what's his job? Can he be a dog at work?
People never think about the aging either. They go, I'll get the surgery now and look great. And then like,
yeah, when you're 60.
Does not look good after the years.
No.
Well, then your face is aging at 7 years to every 1 year, I assume.
If you become, dog years.
Right, if you become a dog, so you're going to age quickly.
Oh, yikes.
Then you're getting Botox in your snout.
Then is your nose always wet?
Yeah. That's not... If it's dried out, we know you're sick. We got to get you some antibiotics.
Oh,
take you
no.
to the vet. Yeah, this and I guess the ears, too. I mean, I don't know what the extent of this would be, but I imagine you can, you know, you can do some surgery to the ears to make them more canine.
Well, this is like really weird, but I think all plastic surgery is a little bit weird, and you're trying to look like something.
Except for the breasts. Except for breasts.
Except for those big titties.
Breasts. Yeah. And labial enlargement surgeries.
Do people have labial enlargement?
Those big fat labia.
I do.
I need bigger labia.
Yeah, I mean, no, I guess all surgery is a little. What was the? I think we talked about this before. What was the? The Liberace.
Oh yeah, the Scott Thorson.
The Scott Thorson surgery.
Liberace had his lover get plastic surgery to look like him when he was younger.
But those guys are like classically weird.
No, that's not a norm. If you're
if you're like a singularly weird, crazy couple of people, like
then it's just charming. It. Yeah. At that point.
But I think it's good to take into consideration what's going on outside. Because even if this really spices things up in the bedroom for this young lady, then what the hell happens to this guy for the rest of his life? And it's a boyfriend. I mean, this could be – is this a two-week fling that you're just trying to turn this guy into a dog? I don't know.
I would say get a puppy and just strap it to his face while you're making love.
Perfect.
I love that.
Double ding.
Dang. Ooh.
This one. This one is Wes. Wes from Staten Island asked us this from our Tumblr, which is also our website. He asks, my wife and I divorced 3 years ago. We don't have kids, so we've kept our distance. Recently, through mutual friends, we've started hanging out again. And we both agree the spark is still there. Is there any way a remarriage can work?
Do they have to get remarried?
Yeah, why don't they take it slow?
Just start over again.
Why'd they get married in the first place?
Maybe marriage fucked it up for you to begin with.
Are you guys going to get married?
February.
Really?
We're doing it. Congratulations. Thank you. Thanks.
And then we're going to divorce and remarry in December.
3 years after.
Yeah.
3 years to the date.
Wait, you know, I don't know their names, so this isn't going to be very specific, but did you guys hear that true story? I think this was like 20 years ago, of a lady and a man, and he like got really angry with her. They'd been dating and he was angry and he came and dumped acid on her and went to jail. And then when he got out of jail, she shot him. And then she went to jail. And then when she got out, they got married again.
I do have a vague memory.
There was like a made-for-TV movie based on the true story. But it was basically like they were both so awful they couldn't be with anyone else and they disfigured one another.
How is that only a made-for-TV? That story is so sensational. How did that not make it to theaters?
I wish I like had more specifics, but it's such a weird, cool story.
Yeah.
I mean, awful, but kind of cool too.
You should shoot him first.
Yes, I mean...
It can. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can get back together. I mean, I don't know why you need to get married if you don't have kids.
Yeah, because that second go around for the marriage is. I mean, you may be able to get friends and family out a second time.
Do a prenup.
I don't know if a third time. Yes, sign those prenups.
Because you're obviously both wealthy, successful individuals.
Yeah.
Register for different.
Protect your estates, your family fortunes. They definitely work. But yeah, I don't know why you would need to. To just get married again. So take it slow. Date.
Just put a cock ring on it.
There we are.
All right. Our third and final question comes to us at LiveTone via Twitter. This guy's name is LiveTone. Our Twitter is at Menage Radio. LiveTone asks, how the fuck did Wilt Chamberlain have time to fuck 10,000 women? I don't know.
I don't know that he did. I know he claims.
Said he did.
No, he definitely claims to have had sex with a lot of people.
Well, if he had sex, let's say he had sex with two people every single day.
Let's say he lost his virginity at 13.
He was having a lot of sex before he was a basketball star.
See, that's true. But he was probably a high school stud. I mean, he went.
Wait, how old is he? I'm going to do the math here.
Well, he claimed also.
Just do.
That'd be 730 a year. You're doing two a day for how many years?
730 a year.
So I can do 10,000 divided by 730.
Yeah. Was that going to tell us the number of years?
I don't know how this math works.
That would
What's that number?
137.
Years?
Wait, what?
What?
No.
Hold on.
Yeah, that's the number of years.
If he had 730, no. It would be a little over 10 years, right?
Oh. What did I do?
I think you did the number of
Do 10,000 divided by 730.
That's what I did.
13 and a half years.
13 and a half years.
What the hell?
Oh, so that's... So you
13 and a half years at two women a day. Oh, so yeah. Figure he probably had a couple of orgies. He probably had some big fuck seshes.
Yep.
You know, he didn't... Some days he's going to be sick.
Right.
Some days, you know, you got the big game, you know.
Yep, and you're not fucking two, you're just fucking one.
Some days you're hanging out with your mother so you can only get a blowjob, you know.
And he's not going I think, you probably rounded up maybe like four blowjobs equals one.
Are we just talking intercourse? Because, like, would people consider it sex if you did just get a blowy?
I think this can be a give or take, what am I saying?
Like a, just a rounder.
Yeah. It's a round.
It's an estimate.
Figure. It's a blurry, sexy.
Well, Charlie Sheen situation. Also claims to have. He made a statement I think once that said he was near the 10,000 mark.
More plausible to me because Will Chamberlain had to play basketball. Charlie Sheen didn't really have to do anything else.
He had to do cocaine.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, and his orgy count is probably, and that's the thing too. I imagine in some of those orgies, you don't do a full head count, but you're like, there had to be 30 people here last night.
Yeah,
and then you just tally that.
You can check the sign-in sheet.
Right. Yeah, Sheen runs a tight ship with his orgies. You do have to sign in, sign out.
These people with their endless capacities to fuck these like stupid looking porn star women. These like their whole bodies look like they have like foundation makeup caked on them, and they just have these like squinty faces. It's like, oh yeah, they're so hot. Like go to a strip club and think everybody's like so hot, getting so horny at the strip. It's like,
I know, it's disgusting.
Calm down, what the fuck.
Live your life. Well, I mean, I love debauchery, but I think there's this idea of it that isn't attractive at all. Like the idea of, I always found it kind of sexy on like those real sex shows on HBO, and they would show just like someone in San Bernardino would have like these old couples would have swingers parties or orgies. And you're like, these are just real people getting around. They're kind of naked. Everyone's comfortable.
Yeah.
People are swapping around. The idea, that's fine. But yeah, the idea of this hyper sexed neon light. Fake everything, people's faces melting, and you're like, this is
no, the
women
middle...
are all in high heels, and...
It's not
with like wigs.
And I wonder if Sheen's even into that, or if he's just now gone so far that that's his persona.
I think people get programmed though to like think that,
and the cocaine helps.
I spent so many hours trying to jerk off to real sex, like. Like rewinding back 10 seconds to get the like one decent sexy shot they have in there.
Yes. And I know they were never as satisfying as a youth. You're always like waiting. Exactly. You're waiting for that one. And then like there'd be a whole segment on like some sort of artist in Australia. And I can't jazz off to this.
Yeah.
But there were a few money shots. You just had to really, the VHS.
You have to get the real sex compilation.
But it was always like the 70-year-old swinger people that like, we're the most into it. We're the most like,
they had brain chips in, I think.
Yeah.
It's true. They were definitely
like
the
Hedo
most.
Hedo Rick.
Hedo Rick. You know Hedo Rick? You aware of this gentleman?
No.
It went viral with this video of him at, there's a resort that when we first got together, we really
wanted to go.
We were high on this place. It's just Hedonism 2. It's a Jamaican resort where it's a swingers resort. But
it's like old real people just like fucking.
Yeah. Right. And probably not as many Charlie
Sheens.
So
this guy's like 70 and he's like just a total perv in a Speedo and made all these videos.
Yeah.
Where he's like just.
He's also been so many times.
Oh,
every year
like
he
air
comes.
Humping the thing. Yeah.
And then he slips on the poolside.
He's trying to hump the ground and like falls.
And there,
I love Hedo Rick.
And my favorite thing is the ripping and tearing line because the guy's the wild women, the ripping and the tearing. And like. Okay. I mean, he probably doesn't mean that literally, but it sounds terrible.
Yeah, don't rip anyone.
Yeah, don't tear.
Jesus.
Don't tear.
He's
giving,
like, episiotomies.
that's what he's really there for.
Yep. Hedo Rick's probably banged as many people as Wilt Chamberlain.
I'd like to see that orgy with Hedo Rick, Wilt Chamberlain, Charlie Sheen.
You just have to be a sex... I mean, you just have to, like, dedicate time to it.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't seem like...
Can it possibly
probably done
be pleasurable?
10,000, yeah.
Like it's more of a job at that
point.
Well,
it's like that 10,000 hours that Malcolm Gladwell talks about.
10,000 partners. Is
yeah,
another.
Exactly.
You're finally a sex
I mean, most
expert.
People just watch to have done 10,000 hours of, you know, watching TV or fucking
YouTube.
You probably jerked off, you know.
Yeah, I wonder how many
hundreds of thousands of times.
Would you put your number at hundreds of thousands?
Jesus, I don't know.
I wonder. I was just thinking. Thousands, I was actually thinking.
I don't have any idea.
Tens of thousands, at least.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were in a position of wealth and fame where there could just be, you know,
there's no end.
A woman there.
Yeah, instead of masturbating,
you'd be jerking off in a hammock.
I just wonder. Mm-hmm.
Covered in champagne. I'm just talking about rich.
Rich people in their hammocks.
That is the height of wealth. Yeah. Is the hammock. That's the most vulgar display of wealth.
Did I say hammock? I meant gold hammock.
Oh yes, a hammock with gold fibers. Yeah, I guess because of the masturbation. Yeah, I mean, I was on pace, I think, in middle school to probably hit a million, I imagine, but I think I've slowed with age. That's the other thing. Wilt, I mean, he was in his prime when he got most of these over, but I feel like you lose a little bit of that.
I don't definitely know.
But well,
whatever.
The answer is, how the fuck did he have time? Is because he was his wealth and his
he made it his celebrity. Business.
Fucking basketball player. What, he played basketball and he fucked women. I mean,
yeah,
what,
that's what he did.
Two things.
Wilt the Stilt.
Bing. Oh, all right.
Oh my god. Oh well.
John, we've answered some listener questions, and now we'd like to ask you some questions.
Okay.
So we're going to move on over to six sections, which are six rapid-fire sex questions. Answer as quickly as you can.
Okay.
All right. Number one, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
One life partner.
Wow, wow. John Gamberling, what is the sexiest animal?
A fox.
Mr. Gamberling, who is your number one celebrity crush?
Winona Ryder, circa Reality Bites.
Perfect. Yeah.
What's the best song to have sex to?
Anything by Ministry.
Sexy.
Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
I mean, for every time or just like a one-off?
You can interpret the question as you wish.
Bed.
And what is the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Not shy in the bathroom.
Ah, leave that door open.
This has been Six Sections with John Gamberling.
Oh, yeah, Winona is just top shelf.
That dress.
Reality Bites, yeah.
See-through dress.
The doily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll even go back to the Beetlejuice era for Winona Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
What about Lucas?
Hair plastered on the forehead.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Lucas Winona?
Yes.
She looks like a little boy.
She's a little delightful
She's
boy.
She's so cute.
I say fox. Fox sounds trite, but I have one of my first sexual feelings as a kid is watching that Disney...
Robin Hood. Yeah.
Oh, Maid Marian.
Yeah, Maid Marian is just like so soft in her paws. Like, she's like, acts so delightful, like rubbing her paws and her fur and stuff.
Yep. Yeah, she was. She was.
Sexy little fox.
Really sexy. And then who was, the hen was her butch caretaker. I don't know if I was turned on by the hen. I don't know.
I was turned on by Sir Hiss.
Sir Hiss. the snake.
The snake sidekick. I was not, actually.
I love that.
It was all sidekicks.
It was. It was a lot. Yeah, it was a lot of sidekicks.
Disney loves their sidekicks, though.
They do. Sidekicks are usually the best part. Yeah, they always have a loudmouth sidekick.
Yeah.
I love that. First off, that we said 10,000 right after. I think that was interesting after talking about Wilt. But
we know how Wilt would have answered that question.
We sure do. Or actually, what if he just wanted that one life partner, but he just fucked 10,000?
You can't unfuck 10,000
women. He doesn't know
women.
What he wants.
No, he doesn't.
You got to want a relationship. Everybody goes, I can't find a partner. I don't know what to do. And it's like you have to actually want what a relationship is.
Right.
Some people don't know, and they don't have relationships, and that's fine. The idea that everybody should be in a relationship, I feel like a lot of people like don't know what it is to be in it. Like what they want, they'll never reconcile their fantasy of what a relationship is supposed to be with what a relationship actually is.
In the Matrix, I could just plug in and experience that.
And you just have it, yeah. But right? I think that, yeah, I think the expectations, I think that's always a problem with people having. We were just talking about this as we caught a piece of the Sex and the City second movie
two.
On the way out
where
the
they
door.
Go to Dubai.
They're in Dubai.
Where they have
Abu Dhabi.
I was asking so many
Well, she gets a Samantha gets a gets flown to Dubai. I guess they go to is it Abu Dhabi?
It is, because I just caught that scene. She's like, "I hear Dubai is the shit," and the guy says, "Well, with all due respect, Abu Dhabi is where it's at now," and flies her out there.
Mm. Well, they yeah, I've only seen maybe four or five episodes of the show, but I feel like I know the characters really well. So I was grilling Diane on the way over here about is Aiden or Big better for what's her name? Yeah, but yeah, the
what about Baryshnikov?
Right,
Baryshnikov. This is what I hear. He swept her off her feet towards the end of the series. I was not around for those episodes. But he was too controlling, I think, is what you said. Yeah.
Yeah, he was controlling.
But I think for the expectations, I always felt like Charlotte had the most expectations for like what things should be in a relationship, and then Kyle MacLachlan kind of blew up in her face because of that.
We were going to be let down.
Charlotte ended up with that fat, bald
Harry.
Pug, right?
Yeah. He is a pug. He's a pug man.
Fat, bald pug.
That dog lady should marry that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he should. Samantha is the best, I think, as of all time.
You're obsessed with Sex and the City.
Well, I mean, Sex and the City 2, it really sucked me in those 15 minutes we were watching.
Sex and the City was a good show.
It was. It is.
I do find it baffling that people always sort of, there's a lot of focus on how women are portrayed, you know, in media and stuff. But Sex and the City is like sort of this untouchable, like everybody loves it. But like those women are drunk, promiscuous, like, shallow whores, basically. I mean, it's a good show and they are good characters, but like the things that they engage in that show is, you know, superficial shopping, drinking, and sleeping around.
I wonder if there's always that balance between the lady characters should be able to do anything male characters can do.
Right.
And then also the flip side of that of like, well, then why are they being made out to be extremely shallow? Like they try to paint that lifestyle in a positive light for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hate Carrie Bradshaw, the character of Carrie Bradshaw. I despise everything about her.
She's just looking for love.
I know.
I love that blank screen where she's like typing. She's always like, it's always just one sentence on a screen.
You're like,
I couldn't help but wonder.
And she's like, she's an amazing writer, apparently, on that show. She's one of the hot New York writers. But yeah, you only ever see it one sentence at a time.
I think but what John was saying, I think that's obviously what people liked about it.
Yeah.
Like that they were just like drunk doing what they wanted.
Fucking
there
everyone.
Wasn't this like idea that they had to be.
But it seems like the impression is that their lifestyle is one to aspire to.
Right. It's glamorous. They definitely try to make it out to be pretty damn glamorous.
Well, what's weird, too, is the whole thing was like, we're single, we're aging, we don't care about certain things like marriage. And then by the end, they all are like happy and married and it's tied up in a little bow. So that was kind of against, I feel like, what the show was supposed to be, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I always thought it was a good show, and I don't think art should be held up to, you know, some sort of social
cultural standard.
Is it okay?
Or
is it, you know, how are people being portrayed type of standard? But you know, if it's good, it's good. But it was just, I thought that was strange.
Oh, those four ladies. They stole our hearts.
Where are they now?
They're in Dubai, actually. They made it to Dubai after
Abu Dhabi. That
second
movie was fucking terrible.
Terrible.
That was awful.
The 15 minutes I saw was really bad.
I watched it in theater, though, after a bottle of wine with a friend, and we were just howling at it because it's so fucking ridiculous. There's a slow-mo scene where they walk in, like, crazy fashion turbans, like, through the desert to ride camels.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
And then they're, like, hiding in the spice market, and Samantha just can't keep her fucking tits in her blouse. She, like, has to, like, shove them in these militant Muslim people's faces.
Oh, yeah, those overtones were there. They keep their women in burqas, and we're coming in with our tits hanging out. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
Ah, well.
They're kind of a power foursome, wouldn't you say?
I would say they're a power foursome, and that reminds me of our power twosome. In our PC spotlight.
Is this a segue?
Yeah.
That was
Jesus
a
Christ.
Our PC
clunky, heavy, heavy segue.
When
you can smell it coming.
Our PC spotlight is our power couple of the week. You know him, lonely hitman who loves his calisthenics.
You know her, badass 12-year-old dropout who can't wait to escape her dysfunctional family.
We're talking Leon
and Matilda from The Professional.
Woo!
This is a power couple.
Have
for
you
the
seen
ages.
This picture?
What picture?
The Professional.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about a
photo, a still image.
Oh, there's a great photo of the two of them.
The picture.
Yeah, I love The Professional.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I think their relationship is. Well, I mean, of course, it doesn't end well for Leon, but the it kind of gave him new life. So I think their relationship, while it wasn't sexual, was a little, I mean, a little, some few sexual overtones, maybe. But
I didn't feel like it was coming from him, though.
No, from her. Definitely.
She was a bird. She was a blossoming flower,
adolescent.
And,
yeah.
You know, she had nowhere to put that impulse and. She sort of moved that feeler towards him, and he, you know, I think he handled it maturely.
Yeah.
He was a gentleman.
Showed her how to kill.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's,
He put a gun in her hand instead of a dick.
It's true.
It's great.
Right. He empowered her.
He did.
I think Natalie Portman peaked in this movie.
Yeah, as for her career, yeah, she was a great performance.
I feel like after that, everyone's like, this girl can act, you know? And then at every other movie, I'm just like, eh.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, she's obviously wonderful. I just mean, like, I thought she was going to be like Meryl Streep, you know what I mean? Like, after that, because she was so young and so good at that.
And so good, yeah.
Yeah, she's not bad. She's just like, she's sort of flat in a lot of things.
Yeah.
She's always crying in movies.
She also hasn't had a lot of meaty roles like this. This role, I mean, she's for a 12-year-old, but just at all. I mean, it was a complex character and a relationship, and it was a great movie. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else that she's had.
I didn't see Black Swan.
No, me neither.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh.
So that's a meaty role.
Yeah, she was okay.
Oh. All right.
Oh. Yeah.
No, I mean, just all right.
No, she was good in that. She was. But it was like, you know when someone like does an annoying character well, so you kind of think they're annoying?
Right.
It's totally unfair. It's because it's them like doing a great job, but she's just a very like uptight, whatever. Mila Kunis had a really fun role in that movie, I feel like.
I like Mila.
She got crazy.
In back to The Professional, Gary Oldman in this movie is probably the greatest.
Love Gary Oldman.
He just like...
The greatest.
Chewing scenes.
Everyone!
Yeah, he's just so over the top in the best possible way.
He's like pill popping, right?
Yeah, I love his pill.
Mm-hmm.
You like Mozart? Yeah. His pill, as if like, there's like, is he chewing them?
Yeah,
what is he? Like, he's really like, when you take pills, you swallow them, and then like a little while later, you feel them. He feels like he's like really...
Just the idea of he just loved the idea of taking pills. That got him going. Yeah, and that's what I mean. He like took every moment in that. Every time he was in a scene, it was just like he couldn't, even for that, his choices are like, Oldman, can you just swallow these pills? He's like, nope. Gotta really feast on this.
He's a crazy guy.
Yeah.
He what's the director's name? I always forget the director.
Jean Renault is
Jean Renault's
is
the actor.
Leon.
Luc Besson.
Luc Besson.
Yeah. He did Fifth Element too.
Which Gary Oldman
was also,
Oh my God, his hairpiece in that. That's a great movie.
His like plastic hairpiece. Zorg.
Yeah, it's fun if you have an actor like that where like I'll just every movie I make, I'm just gonna bring him in to just dominate and be completely off the rails, and it actually works. I think few people can get away with that.
So the real power couple here is Gary Oldman.
And Gary Oldman.
And his sweet pills.
Nice. What was the outcome of that segment?
I think it was.
We're trying to celebrate a power. Well, we're just
Sex in the City 2? Is that what we're talking about? Yeah, it was just celebrating that they're a power couple and their relationship, but we didn't really.
Well, we usually try to say why they're a power couple. And I think when him empowering her, like they needed each other, I feel like that's underlying.
He helped her grow up. She had no father figure. She had the abuse at home that was going on with her stepfather or whatever. So he kind of served that purpose and brought her into womanhood.
And he needed help.
Well, he was a sad,
companionship,
lonely...
Yeah.
He had
his
plants.
He needed meaning in his life. He needed something to die for.
That's right. And he did die for it. And then the mafioso took care of her after the fact. Gave her his savings.
I don't remember the end of that movie.
What's his name?
Danny Aiello?
Aiello played the whatever Tony or whatever that character's name was. But yeah, they ended up... Because he... he made good on the savings. I think Leon was like, I have this money or whatever, and I want her to have it. So she,
oh, yeah.
So she probably, I don't know how it ended, but I guess she just ran away from her family and had money and started her life.
I think she went to Dubai.
Her family's dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot that important plot point.
They were
so
all
she
shot.
Just had, yeah. So she's just kind of, yeah, she's probably just got an apartment and a dog and started her life. All right.
All right.
Well, here's a.
I feel sad.
I feel sad. I also feel sad. But before I feel sad, I want to do a little something called virtual sugar.
Virtual sugar?
Virtual sugar. This here is, we've taken what we've known about you. This is a real OkCupid profile that we found online. You're familiar with this dating website.
I mean, I know that it's a dating website. I don't know
that's all
what
you need.
Characterizes it specifically.
It's like a, yeah, it's just a, like a, you know, glorified Craigslist. and you just find fuck buddies and things on there. And so
it's a promiscuity. It's like a fuck buddies thing.
I think so. I think
people date.
People find
there.
Love.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's like eHarmony.
eHarmony is like getting married.
eHarmony is like a big
Christian
fuck
site. Yeah. A lot of Christian fucks going on.
And then Tinder is like straight fuck. And then OkCupid's like somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Cupid, yeah, I agree with that. So what we've done is we found a real OkCupid profile and we want to take you on an improvised date. So we're going to use the specifics from the OkCupid profile.
So pretend you're single for just a moment.
Pretend I'm single.
Pretend you're single.
I'm me.
You're you.
And we're taking you out with Gams Helsinki.
This is the moniker.
A woman that we think you'll like.
Okay.
The date location is Mello's Watermelon Farm, where you do melon carving. It's not just for pumpkins, they say.
This is Mello's slogan. So
Murph's going to be playing the
I'll play Gams Helsinki. Diana will play any ancillary characters that may come up.
You ready?
You play you or whoever you want.
You look terrified. Date begins now.
Hello.
Hi. What a great idea to come to this watermelon farm.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. This sounds fun. I mean, I've carved a few pumpkins, but I've never got into a melon.
I
feel like they can make funny faces.
Watermelons?
Yeah, just like pumpkins. Yeah. I mean, they're no...
Hi, guys. Welcome to Mello's.
Hello. Oh, hi.
Hey.
What kind of melon do you want? Honeydew, cantaloupe, or watermelon?
Oh, I thought this was just a watermelon for
me, too.
We're actually introducing the smaller melons.
I'll do a watermelon. I mean, I sort of had my...
Yeah, I'm going to do a watermelon as well. I feel like I don't know if I can surgically put a funny face onto a small melon. I worry. My hands are a little shaky.
Yeah, it looks like a child.
Yeah.
All right, well, here are your melons and your...
Ooh, it's a big boy.
Plastic knives. You can go sit over at that table and I'll check in on you later.
Great.
Isn't it funny, these knives, that you know, these rounded serrated parts, you know, they're not so sharp, but they're great for cutting melons.
Precision. Yeah, precision cutting on the melon.
Yeah. What do you think you're going to carve, Gams?
Well, I'm going to try to do a self-portrait, or not a self-portrait. I was going to do a portrait of you.
Of me?
Of you. Just get a little melon head. yeah, you're handsome.
Thank you. You're pretty.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, do you guys have any extra melon?
Extra melon to what?
I'm really hungry. I usually come by and try to eat the scraps.
Oh well, we're just getting into it. I would say maybe like...
Check back?
Yeah, we're gonna carve. You know what? Fine. I'm a good guy. Carve. Here's a little piece off the end. It's
ooh, just chomping that rind.
Yeah,
just chomping on that rind.
Thank you.
We're actually on a date.
Yeah, you can't sit here. Sorry.
Sorry, bro. This is a first date.
Yeah. All right, it look like a date?
I don't know. I don't
get out of here, you fucking bum.
You stink. Glad you threw him down that hill.
Sorry about that. I hope that doesn't that's the way I deal with homeless people. I'm sorry that.
Well,
I'm nice up top. If you don't appreciate what I give you,
firm. You're firm.
I lay in.
I respect that because, you know, you give them an inch. Next thing you know, they're living in your hammock.
It's like, this is why you have so many problems. You're fucking ungrateful.
Yeah. Just take the rind and get the fuck out of here.
It's really these fucking people who own the watermelon farm's responsibility to keep
it. Hi, guys.
Isn't it? Yeah, where's their security?
Hey, We have a lot of kids here. Could you stop using the F word so much?
I'm sorry, but you also have a lot of homeless people here as well.
No, just the one. Just the one.
Maybe if you're worried about family-oriented times, you should keep the
stinky bums out.
You know, that stinky bum is my dad, and he started Mellows, okay?
Your father is homeless?
Yeah,
and you're running his business?
He served us all.
Well, why don't you let him sleep in the house?
Yeah.
Did you not smell him?
Give him a bath.
All right, listen. Just carve your melons and get the F out.
Vietnam was trash. Just let's put that out
there. Vietnam was the greatest war in history.
He owns all these watermelons, but he's begging us for pieces of them?
Yeah, give him a rind.
Well, I'm his legal guardian because he's gone insane.
Well, give him a watermelon.
I gave him a watermelon and he shoved it into a toilet. He's insane.
What?
He only eats scraps.
Put him up at the VA hospital.
So give him scraps. Or put tape around the toilet. I don't know. We're paying customers.
Keep your voice down.
No, fuck no.
Oh, my God. Daddy, fuck.
Good.
Oh,
take that little fucktard and get him out of... We're on a date.
Oh, you guys need to leave right now.
Okay.
Give me those melons.
Well, I'm sorry that this half-cocked effort at your portrait. I mean, I don't want people going around thinking you look like this. I didn't finish in the detail yet.
It's fine. Let's go. I saw a nice little B&B before. Speaking of kids, would you? Or you want
tonight's the night? I will.
Kids. We've never ended
with kids. No, we haven't ended with getting impregnated.
Ah. That's a good ending, I think.
Yeah.
So this involved things you knew about me going into a dating profile? No.
Not so much you. More the OkCupid. We read somewhere you love watermelons. This was just we try to grab the details from the date more than we do from you. And we thought you liked you'd like a lady by the name of Gams Helsinki.
I
love that we
do.
Also never really even said her real name. Well, it'll always just be Gams.
I wonder what her real name is.
Well, let's look her up. We also like to go home and go on OkCupid and let these people know that we've portrayed them on an improvised date.
Gams Helsinki's not her real name?
Oh, actually, maybe.
That would be a great real name.
Helsinki now.
I feel sad, guys, because we have to say goodbye to John Gemberling.
Oh, man.
Did I do a good job?
You did a great job.
You did
the
best
job. Am I the worst guest you've had on here?
No.
Am I boring?
My hosting was suspect today, but your guesting was fantastic.
You guys are both great.
Oh,
you were great.
Tweet at Gemberling at Gemberlicking.
And also, watch Super Fun Night on ABC.
Also, check out Ruru in LA.
Where John will be performing now and again.
Now and again.
And Broad City's coming on Comedy Central in January. You can see him on that
program.
Alana and Abby.
A lot of great people.
Tweet at us, please. At Menage Radio.
We'd like to thank our producer, Taylor Moore.
Thanks, Taylor.
Sexiest in the biz.
Chomping those gums.
MenageAtoi.radio@gmail.com. MenageAtoiRadio.com. That's our online presence.
Thank you, Gams Helsinki, for just being you. I want to put a chip in your brain. Make you have a good gasm.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Ooh. Sensual jams provided by French Horn Rebellion. Hear more at FrenchHornRebellion.com.